Hallo?
Ja.
Cool.
Okay, hi everyone. I'm going to present the project Egdesis, an open source NAT, DNS64 and NAT64. That's been done by Simon Perrault, me, and Marc Blanchette at Via Genie, a small company in Quebec City. First, I'm going to present the status of the IPv6, where we are at now, our project, the specification of DNS64 and NAT64, use case, where can we put this, implementations, and what we learned experimenting with DNS and NAT64. First of all, how many IPv4 addresses are remaining? This is the allocation pool from IANA, the 18/8 blocks that are remaining. There's a nice site which is potaru.net that has an IPv4 address report that gives the state of the remaining IPv4 address. Here you can see the blocks by their status, allocated the state. The IANA pool is the one that are really not allocated. The allocated ones is the one that the regional registry has received but not still assigned to the users. The assign is the one that is assigned to the user, and the advertise is the one that are really advertised on BGP networks. Here you can see the progress of allocation from IANA. You see that the curve is still going up. It's not slowing down. IPv6 doesn't seem to have any effect in the adoption of IPv4 and the release of IPv4 address. Here it's the same, the rate of advertised address. And the remaining addresses, IPv4 addresses, are not of the same quality than the IPv4 address we got before. For example, the 1/8 has just been allocated to APNIC, and this network has been used for private usage. So as soon as you start to advertise this prefix, you start to receive a lot of traffic from different network, and so it's of a lesser quality IPv4 address. Oh, feel free to ask questions or interrupt me if you want during the presentation. Okay, so the problem is, yeah, the number of IPv4 addresses is decreasing. The IPv6 network is kind of isolated. We can access it through dual stack hosts with tunnels or with a native connection, but the user from the IPv6 network cannot use the old IPv4 service. So tunnels are not the only solution to IPv6 transition. How do we connect IPv6 only networks to the IPv4 internet? That's where our project arrives. It is founded by NLNet and Via Genie. Egdesis refers to the molting of the cuticula in intrapods. It's an analogy of IPv4 molting into IPv6. It's also one of the expertise of the 5-year-old son of the one of the project leads. Before DNS64 and NAT64, there was NAT-PT. NAT-PT has been deprecated because of different problem in the design. Maybe they didn't took enough time thinking about the design and started to write too quickly. But one of the problem is that DNS and NAT are bound together. They talk to each other, they share states, so it's very hard to scale. It attempted to be a solution to everything. In the transition to IPv6, you have multiple scenarios. You have a network, IPv4 network that wants to talk to an IPv6 network and vice versa. So NAT-PT tried to answer everything. It created a net mapping on the reception on DNS query. So it's kind of strange idea. And then it has been deprecated, and then DNS64 and NAT64 has been written. It's still a draft of the IETF. One of the force of DNS64 NAT64 is that it's separated. They don't share states, and the only thing that shares a state is the NAT64. That has a state is NAT64. It's only for the scenario of IPv6 network to the IPv4 internet. One typical use case of the NAT64 would be for an ISP who deploys an IPv6 network on the side of its user and use a NAT64 to provide an access to the IPv4 internet. Another usage would be if you have an IPv4 server and you want to provide the service, IPv6 service, IPv6 user that use the IPv4 server. You can put a NAT64 in front of it and translate the packets, the 624. So this is how you can set up the DNS and the NAT. So you see that the default IPv6 route goes through a normal IPv6 router, and it is untouched. The 64FF9B prefix is the addresses that is where you have the IPv4 embedded addresses that goes to the NAT and then to the IPv4 internet. You can see that DNS and NAT are completely separate, so you can stack multiple of them. And the following example, this is the values that I'm going to use. Let's say that you have an IPv6 network, a NAT, DNS64, an IPv4 pool, and the prefix, the NAT64 prefix. So first, an IPv6 client will issue a Quad A query, DNS query. The DNS query will be forwarded to an authoritary DNS server, which will, let's say in this case, reply an empty response. Then the DNS64 server will issue an A query, and when it's got the reply back, it synthesizes into an IPv6 address, the IPv4 response. You see the format here of the IPv4 address embedded into IPv6. It's a valid syntax to define an IPv6 address. And then the client will issue the connection to the NAT64. let's say here, a TCP connection, the NAT64 will allocate a binding and then create an IPv4 connection to the IPv4 server, and then the normal TCP connection goes. So NAT64 basically works like a normal NAT, but with different address families. So what is IGDISIS? We did three implementations of DNS64, one in Perl for experimentation, one patch against bind, and one against NLNet unbound. Three NAT64 implementation, one in user space using a TON interface, a Linux module using NetFilter hooks, which is basically the code from the user space that has been brought into the kernel, and a patch against OpenBSDPF. Okay, DNS64 and NAT64, they work separately, but usually you need an IPv6 address to initiate the connection to the NAT64, so you obtain it from DNS64. So if you don't have the DNS, translation is kind of difficult with the IPv6. You cannot set static address, so they work in pair. DNS64 works kind of doesn't work with DNSSEC. It depends at what level. If the client trusts DNS64, there's no problem. If the client knows about DNS64 prefix, I'm sorry. This part, I'm not really sure about DNSSEC. So, but usually, if you can trust your NAT64, your DNS in NAT64, we haven't experimented yet with DNSSEC, so I won't talk anymore about it. NAT64. To communicate with the NAT64, you need to use a special prefix. It can be a prefix in your network, or it can be also the well-known prefix 64FF9B. The interest in that prefix is that this one is checksum neutral, so when you translate the packets, you don't have to change the checksum. And the other way is to use the prefix from your own allocation. This way you can have multiple NATs and do load balancing. The prefix can be shorter than 96 if you want to route part of your IP of the IPv4 address. NAT64 is precisely specified compared to NAT PT. That's why it makes NAT traversal easy. In bind, we made the change to the core state machine. We changed the query find function, and for the configuration, we added a DNS64 prefix option. If the option is not there, the DNS is not translating is not behaving as a DNS64 server. Unbound is a new non-authoritative DNS server with modular architecture. DNS64 has been implemented as a module into Unbound. It can be combined with other modules, one for DNSSEC, one for recursive resolving. What it does is the DNS64 just takes a query request and then synthesize a reply. For NAT64, we did a user space implementation called NAT64D. It's using TON. It works on different architecture. Done is almost on any operating system. It's close to the IETF specification. It's the closest implementation to the IETF specification. It uses 3.h to store the NAT64 bindings. It's easy to experiment with. We don't have to work in kernel code. NAT64 in Linux is basically the NAT64D code put in kernel space. Except that we use the netfilter hooks to intercept the IPv4 packets, and we output back the packet with the dummy NAT64 interface. In PF, the way we configured NAT64 is with that syntax, and it's then NAT64 from any to the prefix, the NAT64 prefix, and then the interface. And in OpenBSD 4.7, the syntax will change slightly. There's a RDR64 keyword that has been planned but is not yet done to do a redirection. Yeah, and that's so how did the implementation in OpenBSD PF, I'm not totally familiar with the implementation, but there was a redesign in PF that makes it more easier to do the implementation. First,
it actually makes it possible.
Yeah, it's the address family in PF are. The packets are agnostic about the address family, so it's easy now to check if the address family change while the packets pass through the OpenBSD PF. So two big acts has been done. One is that when we receive the IPv4 packet, we make a copy of it and we drop the incoming packet and then create a new one which is sent across the network stack. And the other hack has been to check if the address family changed during PF processing. If we compare our different implementations, the user space implementation is close to the IETF spec, Linux 2, but the PF implementation has the advantage of being better integrated with all the tools of OpenBSD, and it can use PF sync and CARP to use multiple NAT and do load balancing and state sharing between firewalls. We can use the DNS to do load balancing among different NATs. The idea is just to use a different prefix for every NAT64. And then load balance with the DNS. We can do the load balancing using round robin, random, or based on the feedback of the load of the NAT64. It's not yet done, but it's planned for future work.
This means that you just split C96/96 into smaller network like 2/97 and then have one doing the top half and the other gateway doing the lower half of the IPv4 space?
No, you cannot. First, you cannot split the prefix on the one boundary. You need either a /96 or /64 for /96. The idea is just to have a different prefix for every NAT, and then the prefix is never routed externally of your network. So you can, in fact, you can use any prefix as long as it doesn't conflict into your own network. We did different tests with the NAT64 first in our labs and then at the IETF 77. There are different things that works with a normal NAT44, but not with with. In fact, IPv6 only networks, computers, clients are not really ready to work in an IPv6 only network. So the resolvers might. There is a lot of different protocols that uses IP, that embeds IPv4 address into hyperlinks, and MSN, for example, doesn't work, or Skype doesn't work neither. So there's for every multiple applications will need to be adapted to fit on NAT64 and DNS64, but for normal TCP or TCP UDP, ICMP, this works. So normal email and web, it works. There's for macOS, there's a problem resolving CNAME, so it's still hard to use on macOS 6 to be on an IPv6 only network. Network managers behave strangely if they don't find an IPv4 network. They sometimes switch to other SSIDs, or Firefox says I'm working offline. Okay, I'm going too fast and I don't say much, but okay, it's my conclusion. NAT64 works for web and email, but there's a lot of other small problems. You can try it. We have different version of all the implementation are available on our site, and we have binary distribution too of NAT64. So let's try it, and if you have any suggestion or patches, we are happy to receive them. I'm sorry, my presentation is a bit short. If you have any question, I'll try to answer them. You mean the prefix? Yeah, the NAT64 prefix.
Yeah.
Well, is used to communicate with the NAT64. So what is your question?
Is this officially assigned to 6-to-4 routing, or did you just fix this by random?
No, it's a reserved space. It's not a routable. It can be routed across your networks, but it's not.
It's not routed on the internet.
Yeah, it's not routed on the internet.
It's kind of RC 1984.
Yeah, it's kind of. Mm-hmm. But it can be a part of your own prefix too. So you can choose what you want finally. Yeah, but I think it's going well. But yeah, maybe I'm not that convincing. But yeah, it's going well. I've been using it for like basic traffic. It works, but still we need to adapt a lot of applications. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but big problem on their hands when they have to switch over to, because it's going to be more complicated than it is now, I guess.
Yeah, but the NAT will be located like on ISP network, so it won't be, you won't find that NAT in your own network. So in your own network, it will be simpler in a sense. Your traffic will just go through the IPv6 internet, and then some of the traffic will be NATed on the ISP side. To the IPv4 internet, yeah. Yeah. Okay, thank you.